think my whole life changed once I realized that I could create and sell my own products online. It's like I could create a one-man marketing machine that ran without me once I set it up, which was so different to the day jobs and freelance work that I had been doing up to that point. My real success came when I was able to sell the products that I wanted to sell. It all started with private label products on Amazon and continues to this day. I feel everyone has a potential business inside them. Starting a real business isn't a walk in the park, and private labeling is no exception. But for a person with dedication, determination, and a modest amount of capital, this could be the business that makes all the difference for that person. It certainly was for me. I want you to create your business, and there are so many benefits to it. I describe exactly how you can do it in the 10 Steps to Building Your Own Private Label Business Guide. There are no strings attached. Just get it for free at amazingfba.com/build. That's amazing, F for Freddy, B for Bertie, A for Alpha, .com/BUILD. That's amazingfba.com/build. Thank you for being here. This episode is brought to you by the private label process created by Amazing FBA and mostly the sweat of my brow, but also my lovely business partner, Rob Sleeth, and Gary, our trusty VA. So there's a team working away here. But to create it for you, let me tell you about it for another 2.3 minutes. If you need help, then it could be that you should get some. It's no good suffering in silence. If you need help getting a private label product out and you're just starting out and you need training, the private label process course or the PLP course could be for you. If you want to check it out in full, go to amazingfba.com, F for Freddy, B for Bravo, A for Apple.com. /PLP, P for Peter, L for Lima, P for Peter. I'll come up with a bit of URL one day. It's designed to take you from baby steps with no online marketing experience at all to private label launch within 6 to 9 months. Obviously, that exact number comes down to you. If you've got some retail arbitrage experience behind you and you understand Amazon, you could get launched much quicker. If you are struggling to find the time, it could take you a year. But that's an average. So, what do we do? Well, we do the usual things, really, which is find the perfect private label niche. We have a very, very detailed process for that. Low stress sourcing from China and Europe. We really cover all the details that tend to catch you out if you're not careful, so you don't have to suffer, and how to launch for maximum impact. Step-by-step learning is also really the main difference of the PLP course. So you can go from phase one or phase zero, where we talk about retail arbitrage. That's a kind of pre-business building phase. And then we get into the meat and potatoes, where we start sourcing generic products from China. Following that, then we will get into full-on private labeling. And the difference between those two isn't that much, except the generic off-the-cuff products, off-the-shelf, ready-made, whatever you call them, will generally, you can get an order of those in for under $1,000. So you can do a nice, quick, fairly cheap market test that won't risk your entire life savings. And that means you can actually get something off the ground. That's really powerful. So if you want to be part of the VIP launch, which is late October, early November, get to amazingfba.com/PLP-invite. And we will have the VIP club bonuses there for the first 20 people to sign up at the time of recording. There are 16 spaces left. And if you're one of those lucky 20 people, you'll get at least three VIP club bonuses. Number one is a one-to-one mentoring call with yours truly, worth £100 an hour. Bonus two is 50% off all and any future courses we bring out, which will probably include ones around product development and proper full-on brand development, not just logos and superficial version of it. And then other bonuses, basically ask us, and if we can do it for you, we will. So in conclusion, being proactive is the only way to win true rewards, but sometimes the best action you can take is getting help. So don't suffer on your own. At least check it out at amazingfba.com/PLP, P for Peter, L for Lima, P for Peter. Thanks so much for listening. Now we will get on with the show. Thank you for your patience. Ladles and jelly spoons, welcome back to the show. Today, I'm delighted to welcome basically an old friend who I've never had the intelligence to invite on the podcast, even though he's very, very knowledgeable on many things Amazon related. And that is Paul Harvey, who's an e-commerce seller of many years' experience and the co-founder of Seller Chatbot. And we are here to talk about chatbots. So, Paul, warm welcome to the show.
Thanks, Michael. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yes, although I'm back in England, having just had a nice holiday in Nice and not reacting well to the temperature here. I have to say my cough's returned. I understand you're in sunny South Africa right now.
I am. And for that matter, two things I'm going to warn you about. First world, I love my country, but it does have third world internet. So if I do cut out, I apologize. One of those things. And the second thing is that I'm going to try to keep the outside quiet, but literally there are monkeys on the other side of this my window you can't see over here. And they are noisy as hell, which is pretty cool, having quite different from being in London. But yeah, so if there are loud noises or internet cuts out, my apologies.
Well, that's really quite a different problem. Yeah, as you say, in London, or indeed most places that most people will be listening to this, I imagine that, yeah, monkeys banging on your windows is more likely to be local youths or in North London than it is monkeys. Yeah. So a quality problem. But yeah, it just goes to show how international this business is. Now, obviously, you and I know each other from seeing each other in London and various events around the place. So give us a bit more of a background about yourself.
Yeah, so going way back in the very beginning, I'm sure you've heard of Amazing Selling Machine, one of the original, well, actually, I think what was the original course on Amazon, how to sell on Amazon. And what I did was basically, this was ASM1. So I signed up to ASM1, and actually I used my wedding budget to pay for that. So that was pretty much a tough conversation, but my wife's a rock star and she supported me throughout and didn't say too much. And she said make it work, and it was awesome. But at that point as well, I was a teacher in London. I taught at a school, a people referral unit, and basically we had a lot of those kids that were in and out of jail all day, like every day. And that was an awesome job, but I need to get out of it because I was getting tired of constantly restraining kids and learning to catch a chair with one hand. It gets a bit much. So luckily Amazon came along and I quit that job, and here we are now.
Wow, that's quite different. Catching a chair with one hand is an unusual life skill, let's say that way.
You have to use one hand is because the other hand is holding the other kid away because you're trying to break up a fight. So yeah, and actually, there were a few times in my life I thought I have a job that actually has danger pay. But I mean, it was an awesome job, but I couldn't last it forever.
Man, I'm not surprised. You're extraordinary. You're one of those people that puts me to shame because you think a job like that's awesome. I mean, for me, that would be the worst nightmare in the world. So I'm quite unsurprised that you wanted to leave that. But I mean, anyway, so you made it out of the jungle there and into the Amazon jungle where you still have problems of a different kind, right? Let's be real about that. Yeah. But yeah, it has its challenges, but it's your thing. It's your independent. You're doing the thing you're passionate about. I know you're very, very passionate and very, very knowledgeable about your internet marketing. I know you're the power behind various thrones that we won't mention for legal reasons possibly, but I know you are really the real deal. I'm just amazed that I've been too stupid to have you on the podcast before, but now we're putting that right. So we're here to talk about chatbots, very much the buzzword du jour. Everyone's talking about it, but what is a chatbot for those of us, including myself, who haven't used them and have only heard about them?
So pretty much it's a personalized marketing. So for example, everyone now uses email. And that's how people can give their email address. And if you like, they might even give you their phone number. We can just send them texts and SMSs. But basically Messenger has combined those two. So it's pretty much SMS capability with email functionality on your phone. So once someone interacts with your website, your products, whichever, they give you access to they say to you, they want to talk to you, and they say, let's talk to your chatbot or whichever. And chatbot can either be yourself as a real person or just automated messages, either or. And once someone talks to you, pretty much that you have a lead. And once someone's in your subscribe to your chatbot, you can do anything you want in terms of send them marketing material. You can ask them for follow-up. You can ask them for reviews, feedback, social sharing, anything you want. And the list is limitless.
Okay, so it's a very, very broad tool. So it's almost a bit like, so you said it's like a mixture of email and SMS marketing. Mm-hmm. So I suppose with that, then the obvious question to me is, okay, it sounds amazing in theory. It can do lots of things, but what, I was going to say, ask a naive question. Let me ask the naive question. What do you use it for? Or is that just too simple? Is it too many?
No, not at all. But I think what's important is people need to really understand what's happening with Messenger and how big it's going to get. Now, and this is what kind of got me onto this part, because I saw Messenger, I saw what Facebook is doing. Now, if we look at the biggest social messaging platforms, apps out there, there's WeChat, there's WhatsApp, there's Facebook Messenger, there's a few others. I'm probably going to forget them now. But anyway, the biggest ones are Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, and WeChat. Those are the biggest ones. And actually, Facebook owns Messenger, obviously, and WhatsApp as well. So what's happening now is Facebook are making a huge, huge play. They want a big share of the market, because if you look at WeChat in China, on WeChat, you can do anything. You can order your groceries. You can order takeout food, anything you want. That can be done on WeChat. And the WeChat obviously takes a little bit of commission off that, whatever. And that's what Facebook wants to be. They want to make a platform where business owners can talk to all the customers, do transactions, talk to them, pretty much have a personalized level of communication with that person.
Okay. So I was going to say, I'm not saying interesting, which is probably not very helpful, but except that, just to reflect that really this is a play that's just as much about Facebook as a platform then as it is about Amazon, by the sound of it.
Exactly, exactly. Is that the way this is going, and please go ahead and quote me on this in a year's time. Anyone that listens to this in a year's time that did not take action, I will point and laugh at you and say, I told you so. But pretty much because Facebook is such a powerhouse, they want to push hard. They want to dominate the messaging market. They want Messenger to be the be-all and end-all. So basically, they want businesses to interact with the customers, you and me interact as friends on Messenger. They want everyone to be on Messenger. And that's how big it's going to get. That's why even right now on Messenger, you see actual ads appearing between your friends lists and stuff like that, because Facebook are monetizing it and they want Messenger to just blow up. And that's quite a big deal, because now as Amazon sellers, look at this way, is that let's say we bought up a chatbot and we have 10,000 subscribers. Now, that might sound like a lot, but actually it's not really a lot, because once you start building up with it, right now, because messaging is still so new, we're in the very, very beginning of the growth spurt. So right now, anyone that gets in to build up massive amounts of subscribers is super easy. It really is. And once they do, let's say you have a 10,000 strong subscriber list. Right now on Messenger, there's roughly about an 80 to 90% open rate. So that means if 10,000 people, anywhere between 8 to 9,000 will read your marketing material. Now compare an 80, 90% open rate to email. I mean, email, people brag about having a 20% open rate. And this is an average 80, 90% open rate. So with that being said, if you have a subscriber list, let's say 10,000, do you have to send your customers to Amazon? I mean, they're your customers. A 10,000 strong email list, I'm sorry, a 10,000 strong subscriber list with a 9% open rate, I'm going to send it to my website because they're my customers. Only if I'm going to be gracious would I send it to Amazon, because maybe to launch a product, whatever. But that's how powerful messaging is going to become. Well, it is already, but right now, you can currently do payments through Messenger. So that means then that in the future, your customers can actually buy your stock, buy your products through Messenger, and completely cutting out Amazon, for that matter. And then what you might do is that, this happens soon, is that Facebook will offer fulfillment options. So you can fulfill from Amazon, fulfill from a Shopify store, fulfill from anywhere, all incorporated in Messenger and all automated. So that's a really long answer there.
Wow. Well, it's very important to get the idea of the bigger picture. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I'm trying to focus on producing material for more advanced sellers, because I think often I've made this mistake in the past of thinking that advanced people need complex strategies. But I think often it's not about that at all. It's that advanced people get to a good position and grow from that, in my experience. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, are lucky enough to know some pretty serious Amazon sellers between us, I guess. But they get there because they're willing to see the big picture and ride the long tail trends for the mega companies like Amazon and Facebook, rather than 100%. Just thinking tactically. So it's more of a mindset shift, really. So I think it's fantastic to get the big picture. And
Back to what you said over there, if we look back on missing opportunities, I mean, I'm still shooting myself in the foot for not being all over Instagram when it first launched.
Right.
I mean, imagine if you started focusing on Instagram marketing in the very, very beginning, and for your Amazon brand or e-commerce brand, wherever it is, and it'd be so much easier now, because you'd have hundreds of thousands of followers that just love your branding and stuff. So yeah, it really is a big deal, is that this right now, where our chatbots right now is in the infancy, and it's going to blow up to be bigger than Instagram, because eventually Instagram will offer messenger capability as well.
So interesting. And also Instagram is owned by Facebook, or am I going mad?
As well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that obviously Facebook, yeah, the thing about those mega successful companies is that they, if they've been around for more than 5 minutes, I mean, is that they have long-term strategies. And if we align with that and see where it's going, I guess that's always going to be the best bet, right? Rather than trying to fight the tide, which is generally a losing proposition. And one of the things that really strikes me, and it's very, very interesting what you're talking about, is that people try and fight the tide with Amazon. They try and go against what Amazon wants. And I always feel like, yeah, you know, it's possible, but you're going to work. It's like riding, it's like
so
riding against the tide. It's so hard. It's so energy intensive. It's so focus intensive. Instead of finding the tide and just going with it. So this is super important. And this is bigger than I thought, because obviously we've talked about you coming on the show. We had a pre-show chat to try and, you know, lay out what we're doing. But I mean, really, it's so much bigger than I thought. So where do we go from here? Well, I mean, let's keep it simple for the moment. Let's assume that we're narrow-minded enough to use it for Amazon marketing. Let's start with that. So how would you make use of chatbots in your overall sort of marketing package or mix?
Okay, well, let's look at this. What is probably the most powerful type of customer or purchase you can get is when someone goes to Amazon, they type in your keyword, they find your product, and they buy. That's a proper authentic search and buy.
Search and buy, yeah.
Now, if we look at, let's say, a lot of these launch services, they have tools that pretty much automate elements of that. So they do have like a bot maybe, or a tool that will automate a search and buy or something like that. And that's pretty cool. But the end of the day, though, is that it's still not as authentic as someone going to Amazon, typing in a keyword, searching and buying. I mean, a bot will do it, but at the end of the day, Amazon knows what's happening, and nothing can be as effective as a person actually doing that. So with Messenger, the reason why it's so good is because you can give your customer instructions of how to buy your products, and they don't mind, because if they're talking to you in Messenger, they're engaged, and you crack a few jokes there. Although it's all automated, it comes across as a real person, and obviously they know this is a bot, but if you keep them entertained in the conversation, they have to do it. So for example, here's one idea, right? So so let's say I'm selling my product. I want to do 80% off, right? So I'm going to do 80% off, so I'm going to do a Facebook ad, and then when they click on the ad, it starts the bot up. So click on the ad, Messenger will open up with the pre-automated messages we planned. But what I do is that an 80% off offer, I'm reluctant to do those because I'm really cheap. So what I do is this: if I'm going to do it, I'm going to get the biggest bang my buck out of it. When they sign up to it, when they click on the link there, the bot will talk to them some really cool pictures, gifts, cracking some jokes, keep them entertained, and then says to them, so actually we have two offers, one at 50% and one at 8% off. Which one do you prefer? And the person always goes 80% off. They always select options. So I say, well, actually, there's a catch. And now, like a big like, gift, the funny picture of, ooh, there's a catch, like, we caught me out or whatever. And they say, what's the catch? And I say, well, the catch is, if I give you the 50% off offer, I'll give you the link direct on Amazon. But if I give you 80% off, I need you to search for our product and find it.
Nice.
And the funny thing about that is, because you're offering a lower and a higher discount, the lower discount makes the higher discount look even better. So the cool thing about that is that the person that buys, that everyone, and my stats are, I think 95% of people chose the 80% of offer. And then I tell them, okay, type in the keyword. Let's say I'm selling a big blanket. I say, type three blankets, H5. That's all I say. And they all go and buy because they're happy to do the extra work for the bigger discounts. I find that to be super effective. And stuff like that is super easy to do because on Messenger, you can't really do that on email. It hasn't got that personal touch, but on Messenger, you can. And that's just like a fraction of the type of thing you can do on Messenger. I mean, you could just say they click on the ad on Facebook and the Messenger pops up and says, great, here's the product, here's the coupon code, thanks. I mean, that would still work. But the thing is, I like the search and buy. I like to have a little gamification going because that works really well. And then over and above that, let's say someone clicks on your ad and they talk to the bot, but let's say they never actually buy the product. What I do is that I message them the next day, hey, did you get our product? And if they say yes or no, if they say no, I say, don't worry, we're about to time out. So 2 hours left so you can buy it. And then 2 hours later, I message them, did you get it? And they say no. I say, great, why not? And then maybe they say they're not interested. I say, great, if you're interested, please let us know why. What stopped you in the buying process? Was it price? Was it the marketing material? Was it the images? And that's quite nice because people are honest. They say, it was the price. It wasn't for me or whatever. The nice thing about that is people then tell you what happened and you can fine-tune the buying process to just make things right. I mean, for example, I'm going off the tangent now, but there was one lady, she popped up saying she couldn't get it because she had no money, because literally her husband walked out on her last week and she's in a tough spot now. She has two kids and she's worried about money and everything. So I said, don't worry, we got you. I have your address. I'm sending you two products free of charge. It'll be in your post, vibing your door in the next few days. And I say, don't worry, girlfriend, you got it. So something like that, you know, something that's chubby funny. The cool thing is about that is that woman, okay, she didn't buy it to leave me a review, but she has become now one of our best brand ambassadors because we had that personal touch. All that type of stuff can be done in Messenger. It really could be an email. And that's why people need to take Messenger and really, really go with it for now, because this window we have right now won't last for very long, because essentially, once all the marketers jump onto Messenger, it's going to go downhill. I mean, right now, you have 8% open rates. I don't know how long they'll last for. It could maybe be a few months, a few years. I don't know. But think of email. When email first started, super effective. Not as it used to be. One of those things.
Absolutely. Well, just to reflect back on a few of those things, I mean, some amazingly smart marketing basics. And I think it's always really great for people to remember the basics. For things like, you know, the Cialdini book, right? Influence. I mean, you know, it's such a classic, but it's still true that, so for example, the comparisons, you're automatically getting people to compare 50 to 80% rather than 80% to other options in their life, whatever, clicking on something else. That's really super smart psychology, and that will apply whatever the medium, and you're just using it beautifully there. There's a catch, you're making people work for stuff. And also, people are always a bit suspicious of money. Where's the catch? If there is a catch and you tell them what it is and it's not a lot, I think that's, again, super smart psychology. Otherwise, people think 80% off is this crap, you know. I mean, is, you know, to put too fine a point on it. And this is one of the issues, isn't it, with different, you know, types of pricing. If you put extremely low pricing for something when you're trying to launch a product, people will sometimes not buy it because they think it's too cheap and therefore they're suspicious. But if it's too expensive, they won't buy it. And it's a catch-22. Mm-hmm. So that beautifully solves that. And then, yeah, the fact that you're really engaging people. I mean, again, it's kind of sales 101. And what's so interesting about chatbot that's striking me from what you're saying, and let's reflect on this a bit, tell me more, is that it feels almost more like that halfway house between marketing, which is a fixed thing, like a fixed email sequence, mm-hmm. or a sales page that you sweated over, which is like the average of whoever lands on it, versus a sales conversation where you try and really, really create rapport and create that really fine-tuned, personalized conversation. I mean, tell me a bit more about that, your thoughts on that.
So 100%. So what I do in my business, now this is another messenger, is that I'm a millennial, so I'm not really, I can't type that fast to my phone. I really can't. But what I did was I hired assistants. She's 23, and she's really, what she's really good at is that she understands social media because she's 23, to be honest. So the cool thing about that is she knows all my marketing material in the bot. And so when she sees someone go off tangents, maybe go off the path, maybe they asked a question, the bot couldn't answer it, she would then jump in immediately saying, hey, let's do this, let's do that. And then she's actually watching the flows to see what people say. So essentially, she can do her job by just lying in bed playing on her phone. Which is quite a cool thing for her, is that, and that's actually the best use of her time right now, just to do things like that. And last thing is, though, is that from the customer's point of view, all they're seeing is messages from the bot and then from the from our assistant, but actually they won't know who's the bot and who's the assistant. But obviously she'll go in there and say, hey, this is me, my name is this, actually I'm human here, or something like that, to make a little joke like that. And people love that for it. They don't mind getting marketing materials. And then someone taking over, people don't mind at all. And also, here's an interesting fact, right? So if we look right now at the state of Messenger, 27% of users in the US will buy a basic product through a chatbot, and 13% will buy an expensive product through a chatbot. So that just shows that people aren't abrasive and they don't mind using chatbots. It really is the next big thing. And also, another interesting thing, just so you know the growth of chatbots, right now, if we look at Facebook, there are 300,000 active chatbots connected to pages, right? Yet there are 6 million businesses on Facebook. So 300,000 right now are active, but 6 million businesses on Facebook. By 2020, over 80% of businesses will have some type of chatbot working. So that's why you can see right now is that the next big thing. So I mean, like a year ago, there wasn't really a term, but now it is. Now if you're a bot builder, that's actually a job now. There's a, it never used to be, much like a funnel builder. It never used to be a thing. What it is. Now it's a bot builder.
And when the internet marketers have, as you said, a very, very important point you made as well, is that the internet marketers like to mess everything up. So you have email, this lovely way of communicating, and then it becomes spam, and you get rid of spam, and yeah, the open rates drop from 80% down to, as you said, like 20%. So, and yeah, the other thing is that if 300,000 active chatbots now, and there are only 6 million businesses on Facebook, I mean, yeah, if you do the math, I mean, whatever, is it 5%, something like that? It's pretty low. So that implies that, that growth curve is yet to shoot up, and now is the time to get on it. Absolutely right. So what's very interesting, I just to reflect back, again, being a guy, I'm 45, bit of gray hair here, and I think sometimes age and experience can count for you, but certainly when it comes to social media, I think, yeah, it's good to be wise about what you are and are not, and I'm certainly not the person for, I mean, I use PM a lot, actually. I mean, we use the Facebook Messenger just to chat just before we did the podcast, right? That just goes to show that even, you know, us middle-aged guys, I don't know if I can include you in that, but I certainly would myself. You know, we're still on that platform, but the way we'd use it would be different from a millennial. And I, for example, sent an email message to somebody the other day to interview them for the podcast, or like, at least I thought they had their assistant get in touch with me, because loads of people's VAs get in touch with me, and they're real people in the Philippines. And this person then, slightly odd English, basically good. I thought, okay. So, and I wrote back and I said, okay. So they said, can you sign up to our system? And I wrote back and said, actually, can you go through our system? And gave them the link. And then they wrote back a few days later saying, oh, sorry, I haven't heard back from you. And I said, yeah, I don't know why you didn't get the email. And it took about 4 or 5 emails back and forth. And then they literally got a message saying, hi, I'm actually an AI robot. Maybe it's going to be easy for you to just use our system or to contact so-and-so direct. I'm like, okay, wish you told me that before. But the thing that I was annoyed about was not so much that I was talking with the robot, is that it was too rigid. So it just wasn't good at responding to what was needed. Not the fact there was a robot. And I thought, how interesting. This is one of those experiences I've just had as a consumer, kind of, or as a communicator, albeit business to business, not business to consumer, where one of those things that you just talked about, where if you'd had your assistant on it, just kind of scanning it and going, hi, this is Siobhan. I'm actually, Amy's actually a robot, but I'm a real person. Sorry, it got a bit confusing. I suggest you just, let me just take care of that now or something. It would have done the job. So that blend of human and machine that you're talking about sounds like the absolute way to go somehow. Mm.
Exactly that is that people don't mind talking to chatbots. They don't mind if they went to chatbot, went to human. When people first started mentioning chatbots and Messenger, like, no, I don't want normal. That's personal. I don't want a chatbot talking to me in the scheme of things. Make someone's life easier, then use it. I mean, Domino's has an awesome chatbot, Messenger chatbot. They're doing some awesome things with it. Even Lego do. I mean, all these platforms do right now, and they're killing it, because every day you can get some nice Lego deals or some nice Lego ideas. Not even like the Lego people, they don't even send out offers. They just have some cool things they're doing right now. So stuff like that's really important.
Yeah, another tiny example actually that it springs to mind is the other day I was stuck in a hotel in Nice. Don't feel too sorry for me, so I was on holiday, but it was 7 a.m. You know, I had to take care of some business before my wife got up and we went off to enjoy ourselves. And I couldn't log into my internet banking. And I phoned up the bank, Metro Bank, who are normally pretty good for customer service, but I must have spent 35 minutes on the phone or something like that, which to me seemed an eternity, trying to get logged in. They couldn't do it. The IT department was going to give me a call. I got off the phone and I thought, well, I'm just going to try again to do the reset password link, which is kind of a robot in the broader sense, right? It's a thing that it's a system that will respond intelligently to what you do. And I solved it myself in 3 minutes. Quote, myself. Of course, it wasn't myself. It was me using the system. But the point is, I'm a very, very chatty person, which is why I do a podcast. I'm loving having a talk to you, an intelligent conversation where I'm going to find stuff out that I didn't know and have that interactive, organic thing. That's the thing that humans are great at, right? But what they weren't great at this point is solving my problem. And the truth is, I didn't want to have a chat. I just wanted my problem solved. I wanted to see how much money have I got? Can I transfer stuff across? I owed somebody money. I was embarrassed. I wanted to solve the problem. And the point is that actually the robot in this case was way more effective than the human. And I didn't mind using the robot because it was 10 times, literally 10 times quicker. Yeah. So just another example that struck me as a non-millennial who's, you know, fairly tech savvy, I suppose, because of my job. But yeah, it's a funny thing, isn't it? How we have these hang-ups in our minds as marketers that are almost more hang-up than the consumer. The consumers actually normally just want a result. They just want cheap stuff quick, right? 80% off and delivered tomorrow, that's what they want. That's why Amazon works.
Yeah.
There's no shop assistants at Amazon. So yeah, it's a quite a profound thing to reflect on, actually. I love the fact
that's the way things are going is that, I mean, mark my words, a year from now, the whole chatbot platform will be different entirely. And that's the crazy thing. I mean, on most websites now that are actually keeping up to date, they have the chatbot widget in the bottom right-hand corner of their website. So, right, and that's actually, I love software all the time, and I'm lazy. I won't even lie about that. I'm so lazy at times. So I don't want to learn stuff. I want the chatbot to tell me how to do it. Often in their online corner, when they have the support tickets, I will say to them, I want to do this. And it'll come back and say to me, okay, look at this video over here, done. And then that saves me time of trying to go through the knowledge base, find issues, find questions, as opposed to, I want a question, put it out there, done.
Interesting. So I guess what it requires is almost what's really, really interesting to me about this kind of linguistic, if you like, because my background is like language in teaching and learning, and my mum was a linguist. It's like a mixture between, say, a theatre script or even an email script, if you like, of various different emails versus a conversation. But this is almost like you've got to imagine the different paths the conversation can go down and just have a response ready for each one. But actually, it's a very kind of, what's the word, very intellectualized way of doing what we just normally do every day, right? So if I say hello to you, you normally say, hi, how are you? It's not rocket science. You know, how's the weather today in London? Yes, great, thanks. Yeah, how's I say? Yeah, you've got a bit of a problem with the monkeys. But, you know, it's pretty predictable, right? So actually, it's just a way of thinking as much as anything. I mean, I'm saying this because I'm just having to rethink this because it's new to me because I've not built chatbot flows. Have you got any thoughts on how the best way to kind of capture flows that feel organic to people and feel like a real conversation?
So basically is that when you create a conversation, honestly is that have a joke. If I was telling someone in person about this, how would I do it? And actually I try to relay a conversation over a chatbot. So what I do is I say to them, like, I send maybe one or two messages, then I give them a button. So I say, We have a big deal right now. Do you want it now? And they'll click yes. They click yes over there. And then that's another card. But after every card or message I send them, I kind of want some interaction from them to keep them engaged. And a lot of the time what I do is if I'm trying to relay a conversation I have, I do try and include maybe a few jokes there, keep it humorous, keep them entertained. I mean, what's crazy is that GIFs work so well on Messenger. And you include a few GIFs on your flows and stuff, and people, they're loving it.
Again, that reminds you of some of the better email marketers that it's a different art form. It's rather like writing a novel versus a good conversation. But André Chaperon really, I think the main value he provides is very different in how it's done, but the engagement level is the same, which is instead of being kind of funny and off the cuff and little by little, he does it by creating these open loops. And it's rather more like constructing a novel or the plot of Lost or whatever, because you think, well, what happened to Jake in episode 5 and did he manage to save that thing? And then, you know, it's how Charles Dickens wrote his novels, right? I mean, they weren't novels. They were basically little bits of novel in newspapers at the time, and they were serialized things, just like EastEnders or anything else. EastEnders always ends up on a cliffhanger with somebody going, "Rick, hey!" Boom, boom, ding, 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 ding. You know, it's the same principle, right? But this is a different context, so a different rhythm and a different style needed. But again, it's about keeping people's engagement. I think one of the smart things you just said is to try and get responses from people, which again, like a good speech, like, "Hi, how are you doing today? How many people here sell on Amazon? Just put your hands up." Okay, great. Like, keep your hand up if it's over 10,000. Okay, keep your hand up if you've just spoken to seller support and it sucked. Okay, yeah, we've all been there. Ha ha. It's just basically rapport building 101, right? Getting response.
Exactly.
People. Yeah, excellent. That makes a lot of sense.
What's interesting is that something which I've seen marketers do is crazy is that they'll be in us doing a seminar, right? Maybe they're a guest speaker. And the guest speaker, all they would do is they have a link on their slides, maybe in the bottom right corner of the slides, whatever. And that link over there, when someone types it in, that actually kickstarts the bot for them. And then that customer can now talk to that person's bot right there and then. So some marketers, they don't even, they get on stage, they talk a whole bunch of nonsense, boring as hell, but they have their link there. And people are boring, what they're going to do, type the link in, and most do. And once they do, they're now a lead because now they're in the bot. Now that marketer can talk to them whenever they want to. And that's just how powerful Messenger can be, is that once you have them in the flow, the only way someone can stop receiving messages from you is if they request to unsubscribe or to stop the messages. And if you keep them entertained, they won't do that.
This is one of the things that we underestimate. People overestimate the power of low price or free when people aren't engaged and don't actually want the thing in the first place. And they underestimate the value of entertainment. I mean, like, the world's... The web basically runs on entertainment. I mean, a lot of it's free. Some of it's paid for. Netflix is a huge company. Facebook, again, is a bunch of cats falling off people's tables, and it's mostly user-generated, but a lot of sponsored ads that involve, you know, different things like L'Occitane for my wife, or, you know, these wonderful physical products, or for me, just every internet marketer in the world's retargeting me, unfortunately, as you must experience.
Pretty much.
But some of that's paid and some of it's free. Some of it are paid for. Some of the advertisers paid for. But there's really no such thing as a free lunch, as they say. So, you know, if you don't know what the product is, then it's probably you, is what they say. And I think there is a kind of transaction going on all the time. But one of the things that we give our time and attention for is entertainment. It's just to get out of being bored, right? And yeah, I think that's really huge. So thank you for underlining all that. Let's come back to the sort of the humble Amazon seller thing, because this obviously... The ramifications of this are massive for e-commerce and very, very interesting to follow that and see where that develops over time. Let's come back to a humble Amazon seller. How does this fit in, do you think, with the marketing mix? Because obviously we're not probably going to abandon everything else we've ever done just in favor of chatbots, but what does it do that other things don't do? Let's start with that question.
So pretty much is that what I love about Messenger, and my favorite question to Amazon sellers is, so how many email lists do you have? And they would say that normally Amazon seller would reply, I have like an email list of maybe 1,000 to 10,000 strong. And I said, like, great. When last did you email your list? And 9 times out of 10, and I'm included on this, is that I've had thousands of email lists just go cold. Because, I mean, I'm a former maths teacher. I don't like English for that matter. I don't like typing my messages. I mean, when I email you, message you, it's short, quick, because I couldn't be bothered to write long messages. And that's why Messenger is so effective now, is because email will always have its place, absolutely 100%. But the thing with chatbots is that it's just so effective right now, and it's gonna grow with it. And also is that if you have someone in your chatbot, you can automatically get their email address. And that's the email address they've used to register on Facebook. So most times, that's their most powerful email address. So all these things. So the thing is now, people say, okay, I don't want to push your hard in Messenger because what if Facebook ban your account? Again, that could happen. It really could. So I said to everyone, build up a massive following, a subscriber list, but at the same time, get the emails from those users. So let's say one day in the future, maybe if you lose your Facebook page or maybe you get hacked or something like that, and you lose everything, you will still have those email addresses. You can still use them. So that's a big issue I find, is that people always ask, is it safe to build everything on Messenger? For now, I am, because once I'm in Messenger, I can get the email address, I can get their details, everything. And then if I do lose my account, which is highly unlikely, but if it does, you're not off in a bad spot.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you're almost treating email as a backup, but a very powerful one, definitely. Mm. And I take your point on, it's interesting, yeah, what you were just saying, like I was grinning with the shame-faced grin of recognition, like how many emails I've got from my Amazon, buyers, probably a couple of thousand, yeah. And then the last time I emailed them, I'm like, oh God, it's got to be over a year ago. That's really terrible. Exactly. No, you'll be all right. This is reality. We collect emails because we've been told the money's in the list, but which list is the question?
Exactly. And
I still think that email marketing done well can be very powerful, but it's a hard flipping slog, and it is, it's a saturated market. It's just like a lot of things in line. So yeah, it makes total sense.
And also, what a big factor about, sorry, I don't catch your things. I always forget this part, and it's really important. But I mean, last year I sold two of my Amazon group businesses, and I actually gutted because I should have waited to rather build up a massively engaged subscriber list for those businesses first, because that would have added an extra multiplier to the business. Because if someone buys the business, if they buy it with already a subscriber, already a client list there that's engaged, the ad is worth playing and can get you a nice little payday as well. So something to say as well is that if you build up a subscriber list, it adds to you when you sell the business, if you do want to sell the business.
That makes a lot of sense as well. And actually, yes, I've got quite a few people in various masterminds, the more advanced ones particularly, that are wanting to sell businesses. And that makes a lot of sense. And traditionally, having some kind of off Amazon, list of your own is going to be powerful or seen as good. But it depends how ignorant your buyer is, but if they really know their onions, they know it's got to be engaged. It's got to be monetizable, right? There's that old formula, RFM, isn't it? Which is for useful lists, with recency, frequency, and money. And if they haven't been recently engaged, if they haven't frequently bought from you and they haven't spent much money, then that list is probably of extremely sketchy value, right? Whereas if they're actually engaged and you've got some kind of proof of that, then that makes total sense to me. And I guess that the ultimate proof is profit, right? Or at least revenue. Exactly. So let's talk us through that. That comes to another whole question, right? There's every form of marketing under the sun gets used for launches on Amazon, because obviously it's so crucial to kickstart that algorithm. It's a positive feedback loop, I think, in engineering. In other words, success breeds success, failure breeds failure. So we've got to pull all the levers we can, and everyone does anyway. So then my question is, okay, chatbots, amazing for launch, I presume. Is it a viable way of doing things as part of the mix for ongoing sustained sales? And if so, how does that fit in?
So now, I've launched, I think now, about 50 products using chatbots, and it works really, really well. So for launches, it works really well, because first of all is that, let's say we're doing 8% off offers on Facebook ads, actually works really well. So they go from the Facebook ad, they click on the link, it opens up Messenger. Messenger says, here's the product and here's the coupon code, buy now. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more copy than that. It's just a watered down version. That works really well. But now, let's say you're in month three, and that person you spoke to was in month one. But month three, let's say you're launching your next product. Now you can reach back to all your past subscribers with a 90% open rate and say to them, hey, we're launching a product now. Do you want in? And now you can dictate the price. You don't have to do 8% off. They already love your products. So maybe you can do 50% off or 30% off. You can do offers like that, because 90% open rate. So if you bought up maybe 1,000, 2,000 subscriber list, 90% open rate, you will get 1,800 people reading marketing material. And let's say maybe 10% take your offer. That's 180 people buying at 30% off. That's really, really a big deal. So now, once they're in your subscriber list, you can do tons of things. You can talk to them all the time. You can send them messages saying, hey, by the way, last week you bought this product. Was it good? Was it nice? What do you think of it? Or you may say to them, we want a competition right now. The first person to post a picture of maybe their baby girl using our baby blankets, the person to post a picture will win a discount. And people will submit all their images to you on Messenger. And guess what? Now you have content. Now you have customer images using your product. There are tons of things that can be used like that. The only limitation I really say is, again, your imagination. tons of stuff can be done there. So you can use your subscriber list to launch products, to get reviews, get feedback, help with marketing, and actually help with viral marketing. Get them to share the deals for you. And viral marketing is really cool because what we work on right now into the chatbot is a way to some viral marketing. So essentially one person becomes five, five become 25, 25 comes 125, 625, and so on and so forth. And all by the use of, I'm saying to you, I'll give you a discount here, but I'll give you a bigger discount if you share this with five of your friends. And obviously, they will share five of their friends, get a bigger discount, and so on and so forth, the viral loop causes. And then that can take a subscriber list from a few hundred to a few thousand in a matter of days. So in terms of, long-winded answer, but in terms of having your customer database, there's tons of stuff you can do. Pretty much, they can be your go-to service, your go-to list to launch products, get reviews, get seller feedback, get sales on your Shopify website, not even Amazon, but I can do tons of stuff there.
Okay, so this is even bigger than I thought. This is a huge, huge area. So let's talk about this viral marketing thing. That sounds very exciting. Obviously, viral is a sexy word. It's weird how the word viral has become a sexy word. When I was a kid at school, it was not a good word. Then you had an infection. That's how things change. Definitely not a millennial here. I feel my age. So viral is a good word. And the theory of this stuff is always good and sounds great on paper, right? And can get excited. Have you actually experienced that actually working? Is it actually effective in reality in your experience?
Yeah. So there are tons of tools out there that do viral sharing. I think the current one is Gleam.io, Gleam.io. That's really cool. It really is cool. It works well. And I've seen people there just blown up the email list by doing that. And some use that messenger as well. But there isn't really a platform yet that really, really pushes that up properly. And with the chatbot, that's something we're pushing quite hard, is that right now we can do it, but we can't really track. So we don't know if someone did share this 5 times. We don't know that. But we're having the API fixed soon, and we'll be able to measure that very soon. So the best thing is that they will only get rewarded when they do that task. And the cool thing about this is, how many fake friends do you have on Facebook? Probably none.
I have lots of people that I know vaguely, or the trouble with running a podcast, and you get this, I guess, with in your areas, it's that tons of people come up with fresh friend requests who I don't know from Adam, and I just kind of try and weed out the people that look like they're going to spam the hell out of me, but it's very approximate. So yeah, most of them are not actually friends, I have to say.
But then, let's say for ease of reference, you're a stay-at-home mom. And let's say, I'll go back to baby blanket. Is that if you're a stay-at-home mom, your friends list would probably be other stay-at-home moms or other women. So when I ask you to share with 5 friends, you won't even hesitate to have 5 friends. And your friends list on Facebook, I don't see there being many fake friends on there. So as opposed to email, people can just create a whole bunch of bogus emails and like say we shared it. No, you didn't. You just made up bogus emails. On Facebook Messenger, you can't do that because that's your friends list.
No, I take your point. And actually, yeah, birds of a feather flock together. And the people that I don't know personally are definitely into not just internet marketing, but Amazon. Otherwise, you know, they wouldn't be. It's effectively following me, but there isn't a sort of follow mechanism that works very well. I'm like, hey, yeah, you can. But people seem to be in the habit of friending everyone on Facebook. So it's true. I mean, from the old days, my old work was music. So I've got lots of musician friends and lots of internet marketers. So you're absolutely right. I mean, if somebody comes up with something and there's an outstanding offer on something like your chatbot, which we need to talk about, I might say, yeah, Paul's just got in touch with me about this. I've got a massive discount. Honestly, the guy's the bee's knees. If you want to check him out, listen to this interview. But anyway, if you want to listen to this, just disclosure, this is an affiliate link. Oh, what a blah, blah, blah. But I can imagine doing that. Actually, it seems very organic because the people that I'm friends with are into the same stuff that I'm into. So that's a very, very good point. And yeah, like you say, it's genuine stuff because everyone has to kind of prove themselves to Facebook to get on there. In the first place, you can't have multiple email addresses. You can't have all the usual shenanigans. Yeah. So listen, we better talk about your wonderful software that is bringing up. So obviously you're the founder of Seller Chatbot. How does that, I mean, what does that do that, what are the sort of alternatives if people want to use chatbots? And how does your thing sort of do something different?
So a slight correction, I got to say I'm the co-founder.
Okay, fair enough.
Because my business partner right now, Anthony, which you've met, right now is in Canton. So okay. I'll see him be talking to me as well. But yeah, I always got to offer him props because he's a
It's very important as well. No, you've got to acknowledge your business partners. I hear you on that. Okay, so you, as the co-founder of your wonderful chatbot, yeah. Tell me a little bit more about it, because I've heard some great things in discussion with you kind of casually that sounded like you really nailed down some exciting stuff specifically for e-commerce.
So pretty much is that 2 years back, I started using chatbots, and I started using Chatfuel and ManyChat. Now, Chatfuel and ManyChat are two of the biggest chatbot platform software. So they just help you create the automated messaging, help you create the chatbots. And ManyChat and Chatfuel are rock star platforms. They really, really are. But the thing is, though, is that I'm a technical person. So I love to just sit down new software and try to break it and then figure out, okay, now I've broken it. Now I see how it works. Now I can play around with it. I know it works now. And that's me. But like, the biggest problem we found is that I'm not a good description of Amazon seller, because I love to get, I love the technical details, where the vast majority of Amazon sellers just want something that works. And the problem with that, though, is that a lot of Amazon sellers are time hungry. So the biggest thing I've found is that Amazon sellers are lacking two things, essentially. First of all, as always with everyone, it's going to be finances to fund the business. But the second thing is, if they have the finances, do they have the time? That's the biggest issue I've found, is that Amazon sellers are just, they don't have the time. And I say this because my wife often moans at me, because I'm always working all the time. So even though I work from home, pretty much means I never stop working, because that's always the case. So what we did is that we looked around and we wanted to say, we wanted our own platform. So it started off using Slayer Chatbot in our own businesses. So it started off more as a necessity in our business, and now it's become more of a luxury, because it's worked really well. But the last thing is, though, is that people that have come on now have used Slayer Chatbot. For a brand new user that's never used any type of chatbot software, they will most likely use ManyChat or Chatfuel, and thumbs up to them, because that is awesome platforms, it really is. The problem is, though, is that a lot of people don't have the time to learn a whole new platform, everything from scratch. And if you're like me, if you're a bit of a perfectionist, you want to know it through and through perfectly, and you want to make sure it's absolutely perfect, the flows, you've done everything. And for me, essentially, that could be a 2-3 months of learning, only because I'm a bit OCD about that. So what we found is that a lot of the Amazon sellers, they just want something quick and easy. So we've put together Slayer Chatbot, which basically is that all the flows that we devised using ManyChat, Chatfuel, and ones that we're using right now in our Amazon businesses, we've actually created those into flows on Slayer Chatbot. So now you can just, in space of, I've timed this now, 3 minutes is my record right now. So I give the average user 10 minutes, because obviously, I know this, I'm just blindfolded now, but the average user within 10 minutes can get a highly optimized chatbot flow and ad running on Facebook in the space of, like I said, 10 minutes. And normally, to get that running, if you use Chatfuel, ManyChat, Mobile Messaging Monkey, Chatmatic, all those, you first have to learn those platforms. Whereas us, we try and give time back to the Amazon seller and focus on what makes work, focus on making sales. That's the end game here. But the whole thing is, though, is to make sales and blow up your subscriber list, so that way you can remarket to the next stage. And essentially, that will be your subscriber list, essentially will be the biggest asset in your business. It really will be, because the way messaging is going. And so we try to cut the learning curve off there, so pretty much people can just get going in a matter of minutes. And so basically, in terms of ManyChat, Chatfuel, Slayer Chatbot, the reason we like ours is because, first and foremost, we are Amazon sellers. So we know what people need, what they want, and what are the best flows, and basically is that how to answer their questions. So we've taken all we have, put into a chatbot, and now it's there for everyone to use. And hopefully not abused, but we'll see how that goes.
Amazing. So you basically got you boiled down your experience with ManyChat and Chatfuel into something that is e-commerce centric, rather than just can do everything, but then you've got to learn everything before you can get it to do anything, right? Okay, it makes sense. It's a bit like with Facebook ads, right? I'm an incredibly flexible platform, but I mean, there's just quite a steep learning curve. So talking of which, I mean, the obvious question is, do you have to be a Facebook ads expert to make it work? That's one of the obvious questions, because you've got to get your traffic from somewhere, right?
That is a quick question. So that is a good question, because if we look at this, right? So let's say we look at, I love this analogy. So a good chatbot flow is essentially a sports car. But now a chatbot flow with no traffic is a sports car with no petrol. It looks nice, but it's pretty useless. So essentially is that I've taught this now to my clients, and in the space of an hour, they went back, implemented what I taught them. The next day, I think they got, I think my one client got, I think about 150 sales and only spent £30 on a Facebook ad. Granted, it was a big discount, but I mean, still it's pretty impressive for someone that never done a Facebook ad prior to that day. So you don't need to be a Facebook ads expert. You just need to understand how to get people into the bot flow. That's it. So create an ad. You don't need to create a landing page. You need to create all that stuff. You don't. Just create a Facebook ad. Target the people who you want. So basically target your ideal avatar, your ideal subscriber. Consider what page they would like, what brands they would like. Just target them on Facebook, create the ad, and they click on the ad when they see it, and then they're in the bot. And that's pretty much about it. And once in the bot, just don't try to reinvent the wheel. Copy our flows, which you already have access to, and you can get going in a matter of minutes.
Okay, so it all sounds pretty amazing. And I have to say, with some people, like my BS radar would be going off by now. I'm like, yeah, this sounds a bit too good to be true. Fortunately, I've known you for long enough and spoken to you in some detail about your own businesses and your own experiments to know that you are actually really are the real deal. Because this sounds like the sort of thing that's too good to be true. But you know why? I think it's because a combination of a couple of factors that I would flag up for anyone trying to evaluate, is this BS or the real thing? First thing is, there are mega opportunities when the trend is going and it's early days. And you just identified it's early days. Like Instagram several years ago, like, you know, Amazon as a whole was sort of virgin territory in 2013 when ASM1 came out, and for certain types of selling anyway. And this is one of those opportunities, I think. And the second thing is that you've really obsessed about this. And I know what you're like, that you are very detailed and you're very meticulous and you love that experimentation. Like you say, most people do not. I don't. I'm like that guy who wants to just get in the car, turn the ignition and go. I just don't want to know about the technical details. Like if I phone my bank up, I don't really care why I can't log into my banking. I don't really care that there's some kind of cookie that interacts with the browser that's, you know, Firefox 51.02, but you're going to fix it with a patch. Like, I don't know what all that means and I don't just want it to go. So for those two reasons, I think this is actually genuinely powerful stuff, which is why I'm getting very excited to even just listen to about this and thinking, Christ, what products can I experiment with on this? So is this stuff available to the general public then? Because obviously, you've been developing this for quite a while. I know it's a long, painful process developing your own software, as I understand. I've never been quite foolhardy enough to think that I could do it. Is that
between creating a software or teaching teenagers that want to take my head off, I would take the teenagers any day of the week. Software is a lot of work and enjoyable, but yes, stressful.
It's definitely not something that we want to be personally getting engaged in any more than we have to. So how does it work? I mean, do people just kind of sign up for
software
as a service? Does it come with consulting? How does your deal work?
So pretty much is that this call is actually a good time, because in less than 2 weeks, we're going from beta to live. So that's really, really cool. So right now, you can sign up. And is that if someone signs up right now, it's a $1 2-week trial. And then I think it's $59 a month or maybe less. I'm going to talk to you about coupon code for your subscribers if you want. But then once we go into live launch, now once you go there, you will have all our flows that you can just literally just copy. And when I say copy, you click on the button and then the flows are appearing in your account. You can use them. Just change the branding, obviously, to your brand. Change the price from XXXX to your price, obviously. And change the copy, things like that. But that can be done in a matter of seconds. Then you also have access to all our videos. These are the videos that I've used to train my startup. So the videos are how to run a Facebook ad, how to target, what type of ads to run, what is the objective. And it's not going to be long, painful videos, because for one, we don't have time, and for two, people get sick of my voice really quickly. So it's going to be quick videos. So in a matter of minutes, you can be up and going, because I really want people just to get the ball running, because I love it when people fail. I really do, because that essentially means they're learning. So the thing is that one thing I tell my clients, guys, listen, fail as fast as you can, because in the failure is where you make the biggest learning curves. And I'm trying to stop anyone from failing by giving you access to this platform, to my videos, absolutely everything. But the thing is, though, is that people are going to have to learn. And the thing is, though, is that I'm sure you come across this, is that right now the buzzword for Amazon sellers is use a chatbot. And a lot of people feel like they've missed the boat on that, or they feel that's just too much for them. And I really want to take that away and say, no, in the space of 10 minutes, you can be a Facebook ads ninja with a chatbot that's converting at a crazy rate.
I have to say, it does sound pretty amazing. As I say, I just want to emphasize to anyone listening to this or watching that it sounds too good to be true. And in many cases, it might be. But this man is the real deal. Or I can say from very detailed conversations, a lot of which are not going to be something we could discuss in public because it goes into a lot of your personal products on Amazon, what have you, and people you've worked with in the past. Trust me, this man knows his stuff. So this sounds great. And Beta's live in 2 weeks. So we're recording this sort of late October. So to give us a date roughly, when is this going to be available or exactly?
We're doing the official live launch, not this week, the next week, but let's factor in some delays. So I'd say the second week, November. But the thing is, though, is that hands down, probably what will happen is that when we go into the live launch, the price may increase. Just a heads up on that one.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, that's normally how it works. I mean, I'm doing something very similar with a launch of a general sort of private label course, the PLP private label process course, which, yeah, as also we did a beta launch to make sure the thing worked. And then we're putting the price up for the live launch. So same idea. I think that's pretty common stuff. So yeah, that's amazing. So I don't want to do this too much to death because I know you've got to dash off and complete a software project, which sounds like a total nightmare. So rather you than me, and I'm so glad that you're the one who's gone to it. And I just wanted to say that, yeah, those two things you just pointed out are, I think, important to echo, which is if you feel like you've missed out, you haven't, but you're probably about to, and I hear you on that one. This is not just you saying it. It's obviously a thing. The statistics speak for themselves. 300,000 chatbot messages for 6 million businesses. There's nowhere that statistics can say as low as that. And yeah, the idea that if it's too technical, you're not going to do it. If somebody's offered you a solution that is geared to your space, I think it's worth at least trying this stuff out, because if nothing else, you're going to learn a lot of stuff. I mean, if nothing else, if you learn about how to create Facebook ads quickly, I mean, for me, that would be enough. I feel terribly behind the curve with Facebook ads, personally. I've hardly used them in e-commerce and for that matter with Amazing FBA or anything else. So yeah.
Just one thing I just want to jump in there and say is that I should actually lead with this, is that when we created Search Chatbot, it was kind of out of a negative place, because as much as I love Amazon, Amazon have given me so many sleepless nights. It really, really has. So when we created this platform, we actually wanted to make it to be like, we actually wanted to call it like the Amazon Bridge, as in the bridge off Amazon. So right now we are targeting Amazon sellers because we know that market so well. But essentially is that if you have built up 10,000 strong email list, or sorry, a subscriber list, you can then, you're not so reliant on Amazon, because you can now push that traffic to your website or to your blog, whichever you want to. And that's going to be the Amazon bridge, because then you're not so reliant on Amazon. I mean, if you wake up tomorrow, you lose Amazon accounts, you haven't lost your 10,000 strong subscriber list that you can always market back to.
And that's a very, very important point as well, because I think that the bigger sellers get on Amazon, the more vulnerable they are. I mean, funnily enough, it's newbies that worry about it and they haven't got anything to lose. And I also feel there's a flip side of that, which is people who we probably both know, but I mean, between us, probably know so many people doing hundreds of thousands a month. They're the people who really, really, really need a plan B, because suspension is so painful for those guys. I mean, they've got their built up overheads. By the time you're doing 500 grand a month or whatever, you got overhead. And you just to cover that overhead, you've got to have some cash flow coming in. So I couldn't agree more that ultimately this is the big picture, is how do we get away from being dependent on Amazon, not completely abandoning it, but not being just dependent on it. And I couldn't agree more. That's got to be, in a way, the biggest reason for anything, whether it's developing a Shopify store, Facebook marketing being better, chatbot subscriber list, even good old-fashioned email list. At the end of the day, the different marketing channels and assets that we own that aren't dependent on Jeff and his highly competent people suddenly changing their mind. So yeah, amen to that. And I think that's an amazingly strong note on which to leave it. Paul, thank you so much for coming on and making the very mystifying nice and clear and simple. Sounds like you've got an amazing system set up. I, for one, I'm going to be willing to chat, to look at that. And you've broken the ice for me. So I'm very grateful. And how do people either find out more about you or indeed go to the seller chatbot thing? And we'll certainly set up an offer for listeners of the podcast. If you're able to do something special for them, that would be amazing.
Sure thing. So absolutely is that. So I mean, because Michael, we've been friends for many years now. So one thing I was saying to Michael, I said to you before the call is that if you wanted anyone, if you get a group of signups, then I'm more than happy to do a webinar, a private webinar with everyone that signs up to basically help you with the nitty gritty and I can give exact examples and flows and what I'm working on right now to basically just help that learning curve.
That sounds extremely valuable. I think that, the devil's in the detail and being able to talk it through with not just a person who knows about the system, but as a co-founder of it, with respect to Anthony, so you remembered. I've got to probably see Anthony soon and get it in the neck if I don't mention it. So I don't want to create trouble for you, but yeah.
If you can get him on a podcast, you'd be my hero. I've been trying for ages now.
Is that right? Well, I'll twist his arm. Between us, we'll twist his arm. But it'd be lovely to talk about this again because it sounds like the thing that's blowing up. Doubtless there's going to be lots of nuances that develop over time as the market matures. So, but for the moment, yeah, a private webinar to go over the nitty-gritty sounds amazing. So what I'd say to everyone is that I'm going to set up a link at amazingfba.com/chatbot. So we'll just go through to that and we'll set up a link live there.
So Michael, one thing I should have said, and I know you're going to get this question a lot, and I should have actually said much earlier, is that one of the questions I have is that when someone says to me, okay, Paul, I already have 1,000 users on ManyChat or Chatfuel for that matter. So I have 1,000 users on ManyChat or Chatfuel, but now when you say a chatbot, can I just port over my subscribers from one to the other? The answer is no, you can't. A lot of these platforms lock your subscribers down. It's not really their fault. It's Facebook just being holding down to data. They don't want data being freely accessed and moved around. However, what you can do is that, let's say you have ManyChat, what you can do is plug in the chatbot to be in silent mode. So always in the background, not doing anything. And then anyone that talks to your current chatbot you're using will automatically be added to the chatbot. So anyone that you already have, once they interact with your current bot and say chatbot is plugged in, they will then be added to say chatbot. That way, all your subscribers will be on two platforms. And then if you want to make a transition from one to the other, you can just turn one off and they're on the other and you won't lose any subscribers. Sorry, okay. I just want to leave that question because I knew that you're probably going to get that a lot.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. The transition from current system to new system is always a big one, right? It's a big barrier to do it. Okay, so effectively, they'll end up getting it. So as long as you run some kind of ManyChat type campaign of some description, then you'll start getting interactions and those who interact will get added to seller chatbot.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's face it also, I mean, it comes down to the 80-20 rule. There's going to be a certain percentage of your list that is actually really valuable and buy stuff, and a lot of them that won't necessarily do much, although it sounds like that percentage is much more in your favor with chatbots than it is with email. But nevertheless, any list is going to have its active people and very valuable people, and they're by the nature of it getting moved over first, right? So I guess it's probably not going to do any harm to have a dual system in place for a month or something like that. But that's just an important point. That's the kind of grown-up question, right? It's how you do it. Somebody pitched me about moving over to new podcast hosting. My number one question was simply, if it goes wrong, can I reverse it? And then also, how do I move it over? Is it seamless or is it painful? So that sounds like a pretty straightforward way of dealing with it. Paul, that's great stuff. Any last question is there any way that people can follow you or find out about you if they want to hear more of this good stuff?
Yeah, so follow our website, still at chatbot.com. If you want to talk to me personally, just reach out to me on my Facebook group, which is FBA Renegades, or even go to my website, which is epsilon ecommerce.com.
Right. Excellent. EpsilonEcommerce.com or FBArenegades.com or SellerChatbot.com. Well, there's quite a lot of places. Sorry, I guess SellerChatbot.com is probably good. Sorry.
Yeah. FBA Renegades, the reason I have that is because I'm impossible to pin down. So I always come, everyone coming with one thing, I always say, chat to me a messenger. Always a messenger is probably the fastest way to get hold of me, pretty much because I'm always on messenger because I'm creating chatbot software. So that would be the easiest thing. But other than that, just reach out to us on chatbot.com or me personally, either or.
Excellent. Kids, that's great stuff. I mean, it's just so exciting to be at the beginning of a trend rather than sort of catching the tail end of it. I often feel, and you alluded to this, that a lot of us feel, damn, that was a great thing. I wish I'd found out about this a year ago. So I think this is a really timely and exciting opportunity. And yeah, it makes so much sense, even just from the psychological principles of it, that it is, as I said, it's that funny halfway house between sales and marketing that is really where cutting edge marketing is going, right? It's that the human machine interface is moving to a next level. So yeah, the future is here, right? We just got to get on board with it. It's exciting stuff.
Absolutely.
Paul, thank you so much for coming on and sharing some insights and, putting it in a human, understandable way, talking of which. That was great. Nice, clear explanations. And it's fantastic that also you're an Amazon seller and you're getting all these real-life case studies for yourself that you know this stuff works, not just once and not just a theory, but this is solid, proven stuff. So fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Michael. I've loved being on you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been great. Can we do it again? Yeah. Come on again in 6 months' time. Let's see what the state of play is.
Ooh, look forward to that.
Yeah, excellent. All right, take care. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks.
Do you need some help with your Amazon business or your fledgling would-be Amazon business? If so, then we may be able to help. You may need one of the three C's named by Taki Moore, fantastic Australian business coach, a course, a coach, and or a community. You may need all three, but it may be that one of these particular ones will help you. What I'm going to talk about today is a course, which is the thing that I've developed last because I think it's the hardest thing to get right. Getting help. If you're just starting out and you need training or you need more training, the PLP course, the private label process course, might help you. Go to amazingfba.com/PLP, P for Peter, L for Lima, P for Peter, to find out more about our philosophy and in depth how that works. It's launching in late October 2018, but you can sign up now for the VIP launch club if you want to, and we'll tell you more about that in a second. It's designed to take you through baby steps, from baby steps to mastery of private labeling, how to get started with Amazon skills, how to get started fast with low risk, very important, and then how to find the private label product of your dreams, but after you've got the basic skills down and how you got started with a generic product. Then we talk about low stress sourcing from China and Europe and how to launch for maximum impact as well. Just to give you a flavor of the sort of response we get from our clients, Tess Freeman says, Michael, thank you very much for a really useful mentoring session. It's so helpful to do the big picture vision stuff with you as well as go through the detail. The masterminds are always incredibly helpful as well. I think your training will be excellent to fill a huge void in the UK for decent Amazon education with a healthy dose of realism, integrity, and practicality. And that is exactly what we're aiming at. Realism, practicality, integrity. It sounds like our sort of mission statement almost. So how does it work? Well, it's pretty straightforward. We're going to focus on the key skills of niching, niche research, sourcing, how to get stuff, and launching, how to get it out there and get it visible and selling. Again, if you want to find out more, amazingfba.com/PLP. There's in-depth training in exactly how to find the perfect niche to sell into, all the details you need to source from China, the latest but simplest launch strategies, and how to learn from your wins and from your learning moments, aka mistakes as well. So step by step, we take it one phase at a time. So we assume you know nothing, and we'll start off with retail arbitrage. If you know about this, you can skip over it. There's still plenty for you here. Basically sourcing from retail stores, listing, and then fulfilling into Amazon, shipping into Amazon yourself, or fulfilling yourself if you want to go down to the post office for a while, and then learning the basics. What do we learn here? We just learn basically the Amazon basics of how to ship in there, how to create listings, how to list against existing products, and the sort of basics of Amazon's systems. Then at phase one is where the rubber starts to hit the road. We do our traditional type niche research. We source some products, but this time we don't go straight for ordering thousands of dollars worth of product, but we take it easy and try and spend less than $1,000 to test the market out. And we do a little test launch. And we learn from that, not only how to go through the whole process, but we learn about a particular marketplace. Is it a good place to sell into or not? Then phase two is private labeling. This is more the traditional stuff, by which time, not only do we know more what we're doing and we're more confident, but we've explored a particular marketplace and we have some data to go on, which is always a great idea, your own data, in-house data. And then from there, you can private label with more confidence, do a big launch and really take off in a safe, confident way. That's going to take you around 6 months on average. Could be more, could be less, depending on you and your circumstances, really. So we have an offer for you. If you want to join the VIP Launch Club, that is for the first 20 people to sign up. Only for the first 20 people to sign up, we'll get them three or four bonuses, at least three. To sign up for that, go to amazingfba.com/PLP-invite, or at least to find out more about what's there. First bonus is a one-to-one mentoring call with myself or Rob Sleeth, depending on whose expertise is most relevant for your needs. That's currently worth at least £100 at current market rates, probably more, because I'm trying to edge my prices up over time, as of course like any good business should. So that's a very valuable bonus, and you can use that for anything you want. If you're just about to source a load of products from China, you can check that it's the same thing to do. If you are just starting out, maybe I can help you with your niche research and just guide you through the roadblocks. And if you're about to launch something, then we can probably get a really good launch strategy mapped out for you. The VIP Club bonus number two is 50% off any and all future courses we bring out. We're planning on some serious stuff in collaboration with deep expertise, people who have deep expertise in the next few months, including the 10K product development process, how to create unique products, which is kind of the next obvious step after private labeling, which means you have more defensible products, keep higher volume, higher margin, I should say, more profit, and also it'll last for longer. So really powerful stuff. And in conjunction with that, the 10K brand development process, how to create a truly deep brand that has the potential to become a sellable asset. And by the way, a hint is it ain't about your logo or a cutesy name. Important as those are, it goes much deeper than that. And we'll be getting into that in that course. We'll be 50% off for that for you if you are a VIP launch member. And finally, the other bonuses are simply going to be in response to you. We're going to ask you what you really want for Christmas. And I can't promise we'll do everything you ask, but we'll certainly put it on a list of suggestions. And if it's viable for us to do in any way, shape or form, yeah, you got it. We'll do it for you. So bear in mind, being proactive is the only way to win true rewards. You're responsible for your life and your business. That said, though, sometimes the best action, the most proactive people know when they need help and they get out and they reach for help. And if needed, they pay for help. So it's not going to be for everyone, but it's at least worth checking out. I think that the philosophy of the PLP course, if nothing else, is worth checking out to make you think through what it is you're at in this Amazon business and what a wise course of action might be. So thanks for listening, and speak to you in the next podcast. Cheers.